But even in amidst his circumstances, how many of you know your past will catch up with you? Well, I'll pray for the rest of you that are not. When your past catches up with you, you know what? Sometimes you just got to surrender to God and deal with your past. And God will walk you through that. And in the process, he's getting to minister to a whole bunch of people that he'd normally not get to minister to. We were just talking here a little bit ago that certain people minister to one group of people, another group of people minister to another group of people. We need the whole church. It's like some have like vanilla ice cream, some like chocolate ice cream, some like strawberry ice cream, some of you like strawberries and cream, some of you like off the wall. But you know what? We need all of that of the church to minister to everybody. Amen? So I told you last time I was here, my favorite verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. It says, rejoice always, delight in your faith, be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter, this is out of the Amplified, no matter the circumstance. Anybody dealing with circumstances? No matter the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you and me in Christ Jesus. What's God's will for us? To give thanks, give praise, and be in prayer continually for everybody around us. Amen? So, anyway, I'm going to give you a, lay a little something out to you here. I got one of the things that I found here a few weeks ago, and it challenges me. How many people will be in heaven because of my influence? How many people will be in heaven because of your influence? What are we doing on a daily basis? Who are we talking to on a daily basis? Are they seeing Jesus in me when I'm out and about in the public, when I'm in, at the school, whether I'm at work, even in church? Do they see Jesus in me? And am I influencing somebody else to seek after Jesus Christ with all their heart? So if you'll turn to Mark chapter 12. Starting in verse 28, it says this. And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, then one of the scribes, an expert in Mosaic law, came up and listened to them arguing with one another. And noticing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is first and most important of all? And Jesus answered, the first and most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, your life, and with all your mind, thought, understanding, and with all your strength. And this is the second, you shall unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, admiringly answered, teacher, you truthfully stated that he is one and there is no other but him. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love the Lord what? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. And if we do that, what's going to happen? People are going to see there's something different about you. Now, I have a crew that we kind of interact a little bit. So you scare me when everybody just sits there and looks at me. You can holler back, you can amen, you can do whatever, but if it, you know, if we get to heaven, and when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be quiet. When you got the angels saying, holy, 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 and it's shaking the doorposts of heaven, I think that's a little bit on the loud side. And you know, it's nice to be solemn sometimes and hanging out, but there's more times I see in here that it's a little rambunctious. It's a little rowdy. The angels are having fun. When God speaks, things shake. When God speaks, people hit the ground. I mean, when we obey him, things are going to happen. So how do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? Turn to John chapter 14. I love that sound. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if, there's a two-letter cuss word right there, if. If you really love me, you will do what? You will keep and obey my commands. So I always put a big, when you put an if in front of something, that gives you, guess what? God gives us a choice. So you can either love him or not love him. Or you can ride the fence. And in all actuality, if you're riding the fence, you're not really in love with Jesus. Amen? So if I really love my wife, I'm going to be around her all the time. But if I'm riding the fence with my wife, how long do you think that's going to last? So think of that relationship with Jesus Christ with you. You don't want to be on the fence with him. You want to be in the boat with him, getting ready to walk on the water when he takes off. Amen? So if you love him, you will obey his command. And I got five things I want to throw at you here. Number one is to obey God instantly. So don't raise your hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody in here. How many have you heard the voice of God? Anybody read their Bible? So you know how to hear? You want to hear the voice of God? Read the Bible out loud. Come on, is this God's word?
Yes.
So if you read it out loud, what are you hearing? You've all heard God's word. Now, the key question is, are you going to do what this says? Got awful quiet in this Pentecostal church. Number two is you obey God even if it doesn't make sense. Anybody ever been in that situation? I'll raise both hands right there on this one. That's how Set Free Ministries got started. It didn't make absolutely zero sense on how we got started with Set Free. Zero. You can ask my wife. But I kept pushing forward. I had a lot of opposition. I had a lot of opposition sometimes. Are you crazy? You know what you're doing? Uh-uh. But you know what? Some of the opposition will come from your immediate family. Because, first of all, they love you. Second of all, they don't want to see you fail or crash. But you know what? The only way you're going to find out if you're really obeying God is to do what? Take a step. That's right. When I first took that step, I'm not going to quote her exactly, but pretty close. She said, if, there's that two-letter cuss word, if this is of God, it'll make it. If not, I think she prayed that this thing just crashes and burns and we're done. You sure? So we've been going for close to 30 years now, so every year I always ask her, I say, so do you think God's in this?
Yes.
So are you in a spot right now where things aren't making sense? Get in here. Start praying. Ask God to bring somebody along to confirm what he's telling you in here. You know, it's always the coolest thing in the world is when you're wrestling with something, you're not sure which way to go. I think I'm supposed to do this. And then all of a sudden somebody walks up to you and says, you know what? I just want to encourage you to do whatever God's telling you to do. And you're like, yes. I had that with this. I had a beautiful lady in L.A., Zonelle Thompson, said, you need to start a church. I told her, you're out of your You know what, Ma, you're out of your flipping mind. I had a buddy in Washington tell me the same thing. And then I had one more person confirm it to me that we needed to start a church. Well, guess what? There was my first step. We rented a place, get this, for $5 a week. Old Westgate Mall. We were in the old Westgate Mall. $5 a week. And then we rented the place across the hall for $5 more to put all the kids in. So we were rolling $10 a week. God was amazing. Number three is to obey God even if it hurts. And I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about hurts where people are talking about you. Things are going on. Everything looks like it's crashing around you. But as you're walking with the Lord, you're seeing progress happen. Our first thing with the church was we started in February. We went down in June to a thing with Tommy Barnett and Pastor Phil and a whole bunch of people. And I had turned the place over to a guy. And when I got back, I found out he circled them all up in church and told them I was off my rocker. So right off the bat, they tried to split. He tried to split us. And you know what? You know how many people we lost? Just him. Because you know what? I get a little fauché every once in a while when Tabasco sauce runs up, comes out my ears. And I can get a little expressive is a good word. A little aggressive, maybe. And sometimes you got to step out and you got to just do what God tells you to do. And there's going to be people that are going to be in your way trying to stop you. And I'm not saying you need to run over the top of them, but you just need to put them beside you and behind you and keep on walking. Okay? Number four is to obey God even if I don't see a benefit in it. How many of you you'll do something if it benefits me? What's in this for me? Well, hard work, long hours. Well, what's the benefit for me? Maybe dirty diapers, maybe who knows? But you can start counting all these things and you're thinking, well, I don't want to do that because it's going to cost me something. Well, if it doesn't cost you anything, you're probably not going to want to get in it anyway. Hello? It's going to cost you something to serve the Lord. It's going to cost you friends. Might cost you some relationships with your family members. But the cool thing about it is God's in the restoration business, and he loves to bring all that stuff, big circle around, come back where everybody gets together. I got a really good friend. He's living in Arizona now, but he's had the church set free in Sturgis. And he came to the program through our ministry in Missoula. And when Mikey first showed up, we were trying to talk to his daughters and his son. And you don't want to hear the exact conversation that we had, but most of them said they didn't want nothing to do with him. Period. He'd burned them so many times. And about 6 months to 9 months into the program, we started getting a phone call from one of them. And God's worked it all out now that he's married one of his daughters. He's in Arizona now living with another one of the daughters. And God can bring things that you've destroyed in the past full circle and bring that restoration together. And if you'll listen to God, my gosh, things can be amazingly awesome with the restoration that he can bring about. The last one is to obey God to completion. One of the things is, how many of you are good starters? Come on, you can raise your hand. How many are good starters? How many of you are great finishers what you start? I'll put my hand down. So when God gives you something to start, you know what? He wants you to take that to completion. You know, God will give you the A, and then he might show you where Z is, but he never tells you about all the elemental P's in the middle. We want to get to Z right now. He shows us A. I can see Z. Woo-hoo! And then all of a sudden, a couple elemental P's show up. A couple EGR people show up. I told you this 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you remember, but EGR means extra grace required people. They show up. What am I going to do? Am I going to keep pushing through to the end, or am I going to quit? You know what? I don't know about the volunteers around here, but I know you got a great kids thing. I know you got a whole bunch of stuff going on. What part are you doing in here? You know, it might be great to ask Pastor Dave, hey, I think I'm supposed to jump in here somewhere. Where do you think I would best fit? Now, some of you, I know you don't like kids. It's all right. That ministry ain't for you. But how about the greeting? How about the, Trish, what did you say? The hospitality. What about hospitality? What about cooking? What about, who knows? I don't know all the different ministries that Dave has going on up here, but where are you plugged in at? To make a community thrive, to make a church thrive, it needs everybody. Everybody working together, hand in hand, seeing if we can help each other out. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, I lost, there it is. Starting in verse 14, one of the things that people, there's two books that I always recommend to everybody. It's called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere and Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. And it all has to do with forgiveness. It all has to do with not being offended. Anybody ever get offended in here? I'll pray for the rest of you liars there. Come on. We can get offended on a daily basis. Hello? Exactly. We were talking on the way up here, and my wife got wasn't a text, it was an Instagram post from somebody the other day, and she goes, that offended me. Hello? You know, fake book and all that stuff. You can hide. There's somebody that I watch on Facebook all the time that everything's just, oh, everything's wonderful, this is all good. But the only problem is I know that person real well. And 90% of what they put on that Facebook is fake. So don't get caught up in this Instagram, Facebook. What's the other? There's a couple other ones out there. This is what my buddy in California calls that. Snap my butt on that one. Iceman says that. Those are all, you could be the Queen of England on those. And if your people don't know you, they might believe you're the queen. Until they meet you. And it's like, oh my gosh. So if you're going to play that stuff, be truthful. Be honest. In fact, the best thing I do is I just put a daily thing on there for the church, and I try to stay off that thing. But it's a great thing to go and find out what your enemies are doing. Because they tell you right there on the thing what's going on. Anyway, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14, says this. If, oh my gosh, there's that two-letter cuss word again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But If you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. To me, that's a real scary verse. Anybody ever been hurt in here? This place needs a lot of prayer. We've all been hurt in one way or another, whether it's verbally, whether it's physically, whether all sorts of things. You could have been hurt as a child. You can have been hurt as an adult, anything in between. And if you're holding unforgiveness to that person, somebody always told me it's like me drinking poison and expecting them to die. All we're doing is holding that bitterness, that resentment, that anger, and all that does is just mess with your body. And you're going to get sick, and they're off playing with all the little animals, and they have no clue that you're even mad at them. So I'm going to ask you just to, the Holy Spirit's so gentle and so loving that he'll tap you. Hey, you know what? You're holding this against that, or those, or who. And God's such a forgiving, loving God, is all we got to do is just say, you know what? Father God, forgive me for me holding that stuff against him. And you know what? Some of them, you don't need a relationship with them. Hello? If somebody's really torched you, you need to forgive them, but you don't need to go back and try and make a relationship out of it. If God wants to do that, guess what? He'll bring it around, he'll design it, he'll hook it up, and things will be marvelous. But if you push in on it, you know, one of the biggest things is with unforgiveness is I always tell people, if God's telling you to say, and I'm just going to use my wife as an example, you need to ask Nona to forgive you about this. The best thing for me to do is don't come and say, well, you know, if you hadn't have done this, I wouldn't be needing to forgive you. Hello? Then what did I just do? We just started another fight. And I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness again down the line. But go with a humble heart. If God's called you to do it, come with a humble heart. Come with a loving and put all the blame on you. Because you know what's going to happen? When you come and ask for forgiveness, the Holy Spirit's going to whack that other one too. And then let God deal with the other one. Because he takes care of things so much better. And then I pray that all that stuff comes back around. Relationships are restored. Family members are restored. All that stuff is restored. Forgiveness isn't optional. And you know, if you look at this verse, what's right before it? Anybody got your Bibles? What's going on right before this verse? It's the Lord's Prayer. And what's the Lord's Prayer say in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we are forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. Whew. So forgiveness isn't optional, it's mandatory. Walk in love, and you can't help but walk in forgiveness. I found this week, I read this to our crew last night. It says, if you become comfortable with something in your life that God calls sin, hear this challenge. If you are at peace with God, you will be at war with your sin. But if you are at peace with your sin, you'll be at war with God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be at war with God. I want to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, I think most of us, one of the things that we search for the most is just to have peace in our life. When you got peace, isn't everything just, oh man, this is just awesome. But when you're at war, and especially, you know, the Bible says that God resists the proud. Man, I don't want him. Can you imagine God being at odds with you all the time? You're going to read this and you'll find some people that are with odds with God all the time, and things didn't work out too well for them. So I just want to close with this today. I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would Touch your mind, touch your heart. Because we all deal with stuff. It could be a thing that happened at work. Could be a family relation. Could be anything. That something's happened to you. And there's sometimes you can't even go to sleep at night because that thing's in there going ding, 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 ding. And there's no peace. But my God, I know, is the God of love, is the God of peace, is the God of comfort. And oh, yeah, he'll discipline us, but he wants us to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And the only way we're going to get that is to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I just pray today, Lord, that each and every one of us here, Lord, if we got something going on in our life with someone or something, Lord, that we just lay that at your feet. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Father, I just pray today that if there's somebody in here that needs to jump in to the ministry here in some way, some form as a volunteer, Lord, that you just touch their heart and that they'd search out whoever they need to talk to here. Plug in, get involved, and watch this church take over this community with the love of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you. I just pray again for Dave as their family are doing their rest and relaxation. I pray they are getting some rest and relaxation. Lord, just restore him. Fill him up that he comes back totally on fire for you. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one here that they would be a true example of Jesus Christ in this community, that people would say, man, I want what they have. So Father, I thank you. We're going to give you all the praise and glory today, Lord Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.